B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Typically this season, if he survives the first couple of innings in decent shape, he can roll from there. But he's down 5-1. And the breaking ball sat too high.
You know, if he hadn't said anything after the last game talking about the substance stuff, you would just be guessing. But, you know, he seemed like he needs it, right? He talked about having it. What do you want me to do now? That's what you're going to get.
Yeah. He's talked about how fortunate he felt to pitch this deep into his career without having the sticky question, and that one's going to be cut on and missed.
Little cutter slider down, right? Right in the corner. Perfect pitch.
Boy, this inning's been a labor. 1-2. And he will finally make the pitch. Missed again.
Has no feel for that curveball. Looking for a biter. Can't get it.
That's going to run inside and hit him. And you're right about absolutely no feel.
Yeah, we got to get the hook right here. The hook's got to be out. And it is.
And Workman will have to come in real early for Garrett Richards. That's exactly what the Red Sox didn't need.
Yeah, no curveball all night. And it finishes it up with a bad curveball. Drills a Rosarena with a curveball. He threw 11 curveballs, 3 for strikes, 1 just drilled him.
It's painfully evident what just went on there.
Painfully evident what just went on there. So the Nesson crew is bringing themselves to go right there. They still talk around it a little bit, but when Garrett Richards pretty much tells the world that his career to this point was based on cheating, and now he has to relearn the entire craft of pitching, what are you led to believe when he has another outing like he did last night? Maz, your thoughts.
Okay, so look, I don't mean to sound like an old bastard here, but bear with me. I've watched and covered baseball now for about 30 years. I have never seen anybody as mentally weak as this guy. I'm not joking. This guy mentally might be the most pathetic thing I've ever seen on a pitcher's mound. He has completely psyched himself out to the point where some of his comments after that game last night were scary. Downright frightening. If you're the Red Sox, you're looking at him and saying, dude, you're a puddle.
They can't give him the ball again, Mess.
You're a puddle. Like, they got to come up with some sort of injury, but I just don't know if they have anyone else that can take the mound. He can't pitch right now. He's mentally crippled.
I mean, the performance speaks volumes, and what he's showing you, and I'm not trying to make light of like those that really have addiction problems, but like, he's a spider tack addict. He needs the goo. Without the goo, he's nothing. I mean it. He can't deal when he's off the stuff, and it shouldn't make that much of a difference if he was a competent pitcher, but he's not. Guys on other teams and verified, you know, goo cheaters like Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, that rave staff last night, like, they're still pitching kind of fine. A stiff like Garrett Richards without the goo, he's nothing. He's broken. And he's going to end up having a nervous breakdown on the podium after one of these games. Like, that is apparent. And while it's funny to a point, at some point, it's just going to become sad.
So, again, I don't want to accelerate the process. I know we're going to play the sound here through the course of the hour. That one exchange he had with Peter Abraham, where Peter Abraham said to him, you know, the problem here, is this just something you have to tweak, or, like, you got to start over? And he said, start over.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's just do it right here. How about number 5, Jimmy? You can play it right now.
I feel like you need to be a different pitcher than you were, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was.
I feel like I need to be a different pitcher than I have been the last 9.5 years.
That's all. I need to change.
No, that's it. That's the only
that's
part of you need.
Who yeah. I am.
Like, dude, it's not that bad. So I heard that. I heard that comment, and I went, oh, my God, would you grow a sack, please?
Maz, that comment is, my entire career is a sham. That's all he's saying.
Like, I need to be a different pitcher than I have been the last 9.5 years.
Like, so you act like, again, as Murray said, the whole thing is a sham. You've been pitching your whole life, and you're telling me now that you can't use spider tack or sunscreen and rosin combo, or you're done?
It's the Truman Show. His life to this point has been a lie. It's been a myth, and he's just realizing it now.
I heard that, and I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've never seen a pro athlete as mentally brittle and defeated as that.
It's like when they found out Milli Vanilli weren't really singing. It really is. Like, he can't pitch without the goo. It's all been a fugazi. So it's fake.
Good. I love it.
But again, that's in his head.
Yeah, well, most of it.
I mean, so he shouldn't be. It shouldn't be an all or nothing. Yes, it's an adjustment. It's so bad that in the last 9.5 years, I got to completely change.
Oh, this poor bastard. Number one, transition period for this guy.
Hey, Gary. Hey. What were you kind of struggling with the most tonight?
You know, I felt like I had good stuff. Just trying to locate it the best I can. You know, going through a little transition period right now. Changing some grips on some of my pitches. Learning new pitches, you know, just trying to figure this whole thing out. Like I said, a little transition period, still determined to get it figured out. You know, on the fly, having to kind of figure out how to get through it. But, trying to just compete, man, just try and get out.
Oh, yeah, no, feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're really fighting through it. You're doing a great job of fighting through it. So again, this is, you know, we were dumping on Max Scherzer yesterday, and I said to you, Max Scherzer needed 106 pitches to get through 5 innings the other day. That is grinding it out.
Correct.
That is fighting through it. And he gave up 2 runs, and his team won the game. So Scherzer's not the same guy either, but he's finding a way to compete, because what Scherzer has that Richards doesn't is balls. He has balls, whether he can grip them or not. So, like, the idea, this guy, before he took the mound, it was over. It was, you listen to him, this guy, he was ready to give up before he even threw a pitch.
Number two, Jimmy.
And I'm an athlete. You know, I'd like to think that I'm going to be able to get over this and you know, figure out a way to get it done. Like I was saying, you know, it's kind of, this just kind of got brought on us real quick, so... I've only had about a week to work on it. You know, some guys are being, you know, some guys are figuring it out sooner than others. But for me, it's taken a little bit more time. So I'm just trying to figure it out.
I'm an athlete. I would like to think I can find a way through this. I mean, talk about,
because for me, my entire career has been a sham. I'm Garrett Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true. Ooh, 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 I need goo. He can't pitch without the goo. The whole thing's been fake.
I like that Garrett Vanilli.
Doug, have you ever heard of a less confident athlete in your life?
Right.
No.
He's broken.
I would like to think I could find a way through this.
Oh, no, he's pathetic.
Which is, he thinks there's a way that I can't either. You know, as well. I mean, it's. I'd like to think I could find a way through this, but
I'd like to think that I'm going to be able to get over this you know, figure out a way to get it done.
I'd like to think there's also a real possibility that I won't.
That's what he's saying. This guy's devastated. All they did was take away the sunscreen.
I labeled number three, just learning how to throw a baseball. Go ahead. Give me that one.
I'm kind of just learning how to throw a baseball right now.
Oh, my God.
With what we got. So, and it's definitely different than what I've had in the past, obviously. Yeah, this is all new for me. Like I said, I'm trying to figure it out and just go out there and compete and give us a chance to win.
Murray, you're so right. He sounds like he's in rehab.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm just learning how to throw a baseball?
I'm just learning how to throw a baseball right now.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm learning how to live again. Like, this is the kind of stuff you hear when you watch Intervention. Like,
yeah, really? Yeah, no. He's got, no. So, okay, so this is called a four-seamer. You take your fingers and you put them across the seams. 2 seams, 2 fingers, 4 seams. There you go. That's why we call it a four-seamer. Get it? Okay. Now, the one, if you turn the ball the other way so that your fingers rest on the seams and they just sit on 2 seams, that's called a two-seamer. Okay? And if you can make the ball spin and turn, we call that a curve ball. This guy is, he's a puddle. He's a puddle. I don't know that I've ever seen it this bad with any guy. And look, we do this show every day. It's easy to sort of get sucked into hyperbole. I'm telling you, I've never seen a guy be this pathetic with regard to something that's not going his way. Like, the victim, the absolute pathetic victim.
More Garrett Richards and your thoughts on it, mixing in with our Celtics call.
Just learning how to throw
that's
a
right,
baseball
just,
right now.
Just learning how to throw a baseball. The grown-ass man who's been playing baseball his entire life, just learning again. That and the Celtics and your calls right after this.
for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're not hitters, so I can't go in the cage and hit 1,000 baseballs a day. You know, I can only throw so much. So I'm just trying to get quality work in every day, try and take a step forward every day. You know, hopefully put together a finished product sooner than later. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. You know, this isn't cool to be a part of, but I'm trying to deal with this stuff with myself and not make it a problem for everybody else. Unfortunately, you know, my performances affected us tonight. So, you know, it sucks. It doesn't feel good. So, tomorrow's another day and, you know, back to work tomorrow.
Completely broken man there, Maz.
Oh, and I'm not even a hitter. I can't. It's not like I can go in the cage every day and take 1,000 swings.
And all the references to day by day, he sounds like a friend of Bill W. He really does. Like, I'm not trying to make light of those that have addiction problems. Clearly not. But I'm just saying, like, in this case.
I don't know the reference, Murray.
He's the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people that go to AA say they're a friend of Bill W.
Got it.
So that's what. But I, like, you know, we all have addicts in our lives and, if you know people like this. Like, he sounds like one of these people. All you are is a baseball pitcher, dude. You don't have real problems like these other people do, like real addicts. You sound like an addict, but you're just a big baby. You've been cheating your whole career. Your career is a sham. You can't use the goo anymore. So now you sound broken, like someone that has been in AA. It's crazy to me.
He's despondent. He is. He's despondent.
You know, I'm just going to have to find a new way and pick up the pieces and take it day by day. Like, dude, like, do you want your chip? Can you make it a week?
It's not like I can go in a cage and take 1,000 swings. I only have so many pitches in my arm. Look, he's despondent. He doesn't know what to do.
One more. There's only one more that we haven't gotten to. How about number 6, Jimmy? Let's hear about that.
If you watch baseball, you can see where guys who didn't maybe like let balls get away or whatever, it's happening more often now. But for me, I'm just trying to slow everything down and just put my body in a good position to throw the ball. You know, obviously my velo's down, everything's down, but that's just because, you know, I can't really step on the gas right now. I'm worried more about location than I am stuff. So, you know, that's a big difference. So.
Okay. And that's true too. I mean,
but you know, the change he made earlier in the year, remember he made the delivery changer, he simplified the delivery, he was straighter on his back leg, all with the idea of being able to throw the ball over the plate. That was a bigger change than this. So use rosin. Like, what? He's crippled. He's crippled. He doesn't know what to do.
All right, back to your phones on everything. Here's Mike and Lowell, I think, on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Felger, I think you're right. You're on the right track there with Bradley Beal. But what you got to do when you get Washington on the phone, you offer them Neesmith, all your young players, and you get Westbrook over here, too, because that's your ball handler. That's your veteran presence who takes no guff on and off the court. That's your third guy right there. He's been on 3 teams in 3 years. This will be his 4th and 4.
Exactly. Well, why do I want that guy? The guy who's on his 4th team in 4 years and is kind of cashed. I mean, I know he had a big, you know, second half or, you know, last third of the season or whatever it is. And I like his competitiveness, you know, and his FU sort of attitude, which the team needs. I just don't need his age. And the tread on his tires. No,
yeah, and look, we use that phrase ego to talent ratio.
Oof.
His ego to talent ratio is out of whack. Because when I say out of whack, he's got tremendous talent, but he thinks he's the best player in the league. And, you know, at the end of the game, if he were a guy that could recognize how to run an offense and when to defer, he'd be fabulous. But he can't get past that. He continues to regard himself as the best player on the floor at all times.
Brian in the car on trading Jaylen Brown. You in on that?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I have two names for you guys. One is Klay Thompson. I know he's a little bit on the older side, and he's coming off back-to-back bad injuries. And my second one is C.J. McCollum from the Blazers. I feel like that would be a win-win for both sides because then Lillard will get a solid wing player in Jaylen Brown, and then C.J. McCollum's a good three-point shooter and a good facilitator at the same time.
Okay. Is Jaylen Brown too much for McCollum, or are they comparable? It feels like you're not getting the best player in that trade. But you tell me. I don't know McCollum as well as you guys.
I feel like Portland would have to send you a future first or two.
I feel like exactly.
I mean, look, all these are close. Like, they're close. The big thing to me is the age difference.
Klay
right?
Thompson. If you're the Celtics, would you do that?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
I would, too.
Yeah, they won't, though.
And supposedly Golden State is in on Marcus Smart.
Is in or isn't?
Is in. Would like to acquire Marcus Smart.
I mean, really?
Would like to acquire Marcus Smart.
He would make sense for them.
Where you get? Is this been published stuff, Stu, or you just got like a... Yeah,
the phone been buzzing.
Yeah.
No, I've been getting some drunk phone calls late at night.
Awesome. Well, tell me what else you got.
That's it for now. And if some stuff comes up, you know, I'll drop it in. But
excellent. So the Golden State likes Marcus Smart. Do they like Marcus Smart and Draymond Green on the same team? Like, does that make sense?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, either way.
But Draymond Green is cashed anyway. So maybe they're looking for a new Draymond Green. Because remember also, if you want to go to actual real reporting instead of me gossiping with my drunk phone calls at night.
Yeah, yeah.
The Celtics and the Warriors were linked together for the number two pick in the draft this past year. Where the Warriors and the it was the number two pick. The Warriors had, they were drafting a big, and there was reporting out of Golden State about a possible Marcus swap. Marcus Smart pick swap.
I kind of vaguely remember that.
Yeah, they took Wiseman, right?
Yes, they did, who I wanted.
You would trade Jaylen Brown for Klay Thompson coming off of ACL, Achilles, whatever, the last 2 years. Like, I mean, major blowout injuries. You would trade Jaylen Brown for Klay Thompson.
I mean, I'm assuming health, but yes. Yeah, yeah. I think Klay Thompson's one of the great shooters in the history of the league.
Okay.
I think he's a sniper.
No, I understand. Torn ACL, torn Achilles? What did he have the year before? Or was it two ACLs?
I thought it was knee, but I don't remember.
Okay, either way, it was two big ones.
Look that up.
If you can shoot, you can shoot.
All right, even from your knees?
Yep.
Peter on Cape Cod on the ball doctoring. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hey, guys. I'm just wondering if anyone noticed the other night that this ad behind home plate
yes.
was for Gorilla Glue.
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
All right, thanks. Out.
Okay, babe, that's it.
It's been going on for a few weeks now.
I love it.
I think I sent you guys a photo of the green screen in there.
Sure.
I mean, the thing that's going on in baseball with these guys melting down, you're going to see one of these every night.
It's tremendous.
You're going to see one of these every night. Trevor Bauer last night gave up three home runs. Three home runs. He has, like, regressed right back into a middle-of-the-rotation starter, which is what he was in Cleveland before all of a sudden he discovered the glue.
I'm telling you, the glue worked for him, man. Totally.
Oh, he spun the crap out of it.
Unbelievable.
He spun the crap out of it. Same thing with Garrett Richards. And now these guys don't know what to do. It is anarchy on the mound. And I get it. That part of it I love. But Garrett Richards sounds like he's going to have a nervous breakdown.
Mo in the car on the seas. Hi, Mo.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a quick point on the Celtics. But before I do, I just want to say you two are the biggest bunch of negative Nancys I've ever heard. You guys are like the Karens of sports radio. That being said, I love Joe, long-time listener. Murray's all right. All right, my point on the Celtics, you know, of course we don't know with the coach what's going to happen, if he's going to be successful or not. But he does have, you know, a lot of history being an assistant coach in some good teams. I think in particular with the Nets, it's going to be a lot of good experience for him coming into the Celtics. He got to see Steve Nash, a new coach, deal with a lot of big personalities, you know, first-time coach. Also a former player. So I think being in the front row seat, seeing Steve Nash, you know, take the reins in Brooklyn is going to be a big, valuable experience, and it's going to help him a lot this year.
So Mo, that's all looking on the bright side of it, which is fine. But I just can't take it when that's all that I hear, which is all that I'm hearing. All right. So you talk up his experience. And how what a plus his experience is. He's never been a head coach that I can tell anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that he's led his... Does he have a son? He's led his six-year-old son's, you know, elementary school team. So So I need to hear both sides of it. And so this is why you come to our show, because we give you the other side of it. Because if you just read the coverage of it or watch NBC Sports Boston, or, you know, it's he checks all the boxes and look at all this experience. He's never been a head coach. I hate to break it to you. He's inexperienced. He's not experienced. He's inexperienced. And so, like, I need to hear both sides of it. I especially need to hear the critical analysis of it. And so there's just not enough of it, not even close. He checks all the boxes. Like, again, Gary Washman, who generally doesn't do this, but going on and on, they wanted a former player, check. They wanted a person of color, check. Like, how hard is that to find an African-American former NBA player? There's like a dozen of them that are up for jobs this year. They could have picked any one of a dozen guys and checked those boxes.
Correct.
That doesn't take anything. Like, that was the easiest thing to check. Is to find that, because there's several good African-American candidates who played in the league. That doesn't take anything. How's that supposed to impress me? I mean, I'm glad they went and did that. I think they needed to do that. But that could have been one of 12 guys that's floating around right now who fit that description.
I mean, in a lot of ways, this really is a massive gamble. And so, you know, people can say, well, we didn't know anything about Stevens when they signed him.
Washburn, Stevens wanted to hire someone with extensive experience coaching in different systems. Check. What? He spent 1 year in Philly in a horrible system, and then 1 year in Brooklyn in what you are telling me is a horrible system. So what, I mean, he spent 7 years an assistant in San Antonio. Good system, got it. But the thing about multiple systems, the last two systems he were in sucked. Sucked. I mean, Philly and their coaching was about as bad as I've ever seen. And so that system blew. And then he goes to Brooklyn, and you've been telling me for a year it's all about the players and they're a bunch of clowns. And what system is that to pump your chest about? I just don't need to hear that. Like, I did a little bit of a deeper dive, critical analysis of it. And that's the thing that sort of strikes me a day later. I just can't take it. So sorry, caller. Yes, I'm playing right into your narrative.
All three of them have ties to Popovich, by the way. D'Antoni, who's an assistant on Nash's staff, has a tie to Greg Popovich in San Antonio, as does Brett Brown. So it's really all one system.
Thank you. So there's another good, excellent point. Did he really go to a different system? He went to Brett Brown, who learned everything he knows from Greg Popovich. It was the same system. It'd be like an assistant here. It was like Josh McDaniels going to be an assistant for Matt Patricia. Now he's in different systems? No, it's the same system. It's just that the new guy sucks at the system. But it's the same system. I mean, isn't it more interesting to pick the thing apart than it is to say he checks all the boxes? Like, God, he checks all the boxes. Well, boring. And does he anyway? Like, take a harder look at it. It's more interesting that way. So, again, this is why.
Maybe you just go back, like, over the last couple of weeks. No one really heard of this guy and his name being thrown around paired with this team until just recently, which leads me to believe, at the very least, maybe he's plan B. Like, is it okay to bring that up?
He might not have been your first choice.
Yeah, there's that, too. And I'll tell you, when you really do think of it, it's a gamble. It's a gamble. Because you're bringing in a guy who's never been a head coach before. And so this is what I'm saying about when they brought Stevens in, well, nobody heard of him. They were rebuilding. They were starting over. They needed someone to motivate young guys and get something out of nothing for a while.
Right.
Sounds familiar.
You need a quick turnaround here.
Yes. You need a guy to jump right in and, like, grab this thing by the throat and get them back into the top two or three places in the conference.
You got 2-3 years with Tatum. Max?
This has got to happen fast, so it's a gamble.
Okay. We'll come back. Some more commentary on the situation in Major League Baseball, both from people inside the game and outside the game. Someone really defending the pitchers and their behavior. I want to get to that right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you think Girardi was playing games there? Of course he was. What are we, idiots? Of course he was.
I agree.
It's embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball. Yes, he was playing games, and hey, that's his right. Gamesmanship had nothing to do with substances. He had no probable cause to ask for it. The ump shouldn't have allowed it. But it happened, and you got to deal with it. This is what we're going to have to deal with. You think you're going to intimidate a Max Scherzer and that type of thing? It's just not going to happen.
It's Mike Rizzo on the radio in Philadelphia. He's a Phillies GM, ripping Joe Girardi there. For the nonsense the other night with Max Scherzer, you have a thought on that?
No, just again, I Girardi's an easy target, because he's kind of a dick. He loves to sort of get under people's skins, and I think he would admit privately, I think, that it was gamesmanship. No two ways about it. And I would say, so what? So what? I like the gamesmanship. I think it's entertaining. Baseball should embrace every entertaining thing that they can get right now, because the quality of the product sucks.
Well, I don't blame the opposing GM for firing back.
Yeah, so he's protecting his player. I mean, I get that part of it. But ultimately, Scherzer didn't really get rattled all that much by it. He was pissed off. It was a good attempt by Girardi. But I have no problem with it.
I have no problem with any of this.
Me neither.
This is good. This is content, which baseball doesn't always provide. And so, again, Girardi's excuse after was, well, I've been watching Max Scherzer a long time. I've never seen him go to his head. I'm just trying to do what's right for my club. To which Rizzo says, bull crap. Give me number two, Jimmy.
He's a con artist. He's been doing that for years on TV, and that's...
Wow. So hold on. You're not a Joe Girardi fan at all.
Doesn't sound
no,
like
No, I
it.
Love Joe Girardi. I've seen him play since he was in high school in Peoria, Illinois. Scouted him in Northwestern. I know him well.
Okay, but he's a con artist. So you got guys, flipping out on the mound. You got managers threatening each other to fight each other over mound checks. You got GMs calling opposing managers con artists. I mean, it's I don't know. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, me too. Again, it's the Wild West. It's the most entertaining baseball has been in a long time. And just since we're on the topic, like you hear Rizzo say, well, you're not going to intimidate a Max Scherzer doing that. Max Scherzer. And then they asked Kershaw about it yesterday. And he says, well, you're talking about one of the best pitchers in the league. Like, it's a guy that has everybody's respect. So what? He's not allowed? I mean, you're not allowed to question a guy?
He's not above it.
Beyond reproach, Maz. No, beyond questioning.
So this, again, is part of the problem in baseball. That once you put your time in, he put his time in. I used to hear this all the time. That guy put his time in. The rest of us, once we put our can shut it down?
Isn't that a big deal in unions? It's all about seniority and... putting your time in, that's what the baseball union is.
It's laughable.
That's how those guys get paid.
Absolutely it is.
Service time.
But I look at it and say, so wait a minute, once you put your time in, you don't have to play by the rules anymore? Or no one can question whether you are playing by the rules? How many guys in baseball have signed contracts and then sucked because they put their time in, I earn this money, and then all of a sudden the ownership starts saying, we're not going to pay for past performance anymore? There's a sense of entitlement in that sport that drives me bananas. Drives me bananas. So, like, Clayton Kershaw will say, well, that's a guy, he's one of the best pitchers in the league. So is it okay if I pick on some guy who's a bag of crap then? can I ask that guy to take his hat off? Like, can we challenge that guy? Or tell me where the line is and who am I allowed to question and who am I allowed not to? You all get questioned. It's part of the deal. Stop being little bitches about it.
Okay. Cedric Maxwell last night on NBC Sports Boston dropped a little mini bombshell, I thought, that he's not sure Jason Tatum is going to be on this team. So that's opened up a bigger discussion about our...
You mean Jaylen Brown.
I'm sorry. Jaylen Brown. Thank you. Jaylen Brown.
I was like, that is a whopper. Wow.
No, that is. Well, Jaylen Brown. Anyway, I think that's big enough. And so we're going through those permutations. Your follow-up thoughts on the hiring of Udoka as the Celtics' new coach. That's our main thing, but we're dipping into the MLB scandal right now. And a vehement defense of these baby entitled pitchers will come your way right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You kind of feel like you need to be a different pitcher than you were, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was.
I feel like I need to be a different pitcher than I have been the last 9.5 years.
Seriously, I have to be a different pitcher than I've been the last 9.5 years.
Scary.
Did you read Jason Mastronato in the Boston Herald?
I have not seen that.
Okay, Jason Mastronato says, the problems going on now in Major League Baseball is they're a farce and a joke, and they all fall at the feet of Rob Manfred. He says, the talk of the sports world Wednesday was on Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo taking off their belts and dropping their pants in the middle of the diamond. Great job, Rob Manfred. Says Jason Mastrodonato. This is what happens when a sport decides it's going to drastically change its rules, rules that haven't been enforced in years, smack dab in the middle of a season. The scene on Tuesday was nothing short of pathetic. The fact that Manfred hasn't stepped up and fielded questions from the media and or the players is cowardly. So Rob Manfred's fault that these guys are throwing tantrums on the field, true or false?
Well, so here's what I will say. You want to tell me that you think baseball's been behind this and that, you know, they've been dragging their feet and now it's exploded and they're reacting? Yeah, 100%. Haven't we also said over the years that baseball's always putting off responding to any crisis? So now they're doing it in the middle of the season and we're going to kick the crap out of them for actually acting this time? I'm not going to do that.
It's inconvenient timing and nothing more. And Jason Mastrodonato writing this is an enabler of people like Garrett Richards. He is.
Okay, but Rob Manfred is not telling these guys to drop their pants, nor even the umpires. The umpires are asking for their hat and the glove and maybe just the inside of the belt, you know, as a little check. So that no one anywhere said drop your pants. And these guys are dropping their pants because they're throwing tantrums like 2 or 3 year old little boys are going to poop on the floor of the store because the mom won't give them a lollipop.
Correct.
I mean, so like that how are the histrionics and the back and forth clownishness Manfred's fault? These and put Girardi and Rizzo and all of them in the same mix if you want. They're all you know, all acting like a bunch of petulant children. Manfred didn't ask for them to act that way. He said, just show us your hat and your belt or your hat and your glove and get on with your day.
Yeah, but Felger, they're just frustrated and you'd be frustrated too.
I don't know if I drop my pants. I don't think I would. Maybe I would. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I don't know what, you know, I mean, I suppose it's an effective call. I mean, certainly a point of view. I don't mean to dump on that because a lot of the criticism in MLB is right. But here's the other part that everybody leaves out when they talk about this. They knew it was coming. Baseball's been warning them for months that it was coming. So Garrett Richards saying, you know, this all just happened within the last few days. No, it didn't. It's been going on for weeks and months. Everyone knew that they might institute a rule here in the middle of the summer and that they were going to do something uncharacteristic. And he didn't prepare for it. He just decided on a literally overnight to go cold turkey and let's see how it goes. So he could have prepared better for it. He didn't.
Mastrodonato writes, here's a theory. Manfred and the owners decided to unilaterally implement rules they knew the players would hate so they could use it as a bargaining chip at the end of the season. When the collective bargaining agreement ends and the owners and players sit down at the table for what is sure to be the most contentious CBA negotiations in decades. Why else would MLB put its sport through this? So it's a bargaining chip that they'll take off the table. The problem with that, Jason, is that I think over half the players in the union are in favor of the crackdown.
See, this is the part, again, that he misses.
I think over half are field players, not pitchers.
Right. So now, if you wanted to say to me that MLB is using it to break the union, now we might be able to talk. Because I think that
right.
MLB knows that the players are going to be divided on this. The hitters like it. Chris Bryant has expressed the fact that I like this. I think this is good.
Well, I mean, you've mentioned many times the union has said nothing because they can't because they have a split. They have a split membership on it.
Exactly. They're stuck because they're hit. It's better for their hitters, but it's not as good for their pitchers. And they have more hitters than pitchers. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to suck it up. They're going to tell the pitchers to take the bullet. And you know, the pitchers really don't have a leg to stand on. Too bad.
Mastronato says something here that's a positive that I actually think is a negative. And he talks about Cora's role in it. He says, thankfully, the Red Sox won't be embarrassing themselves in the way that Joe Girardi did. Manager Alex Cora, who was suspended for cheating in 2017, said Wednesday he had no interest in calling out other teams' pitchers during the game like Girardi did. Quote, for me to check on a pitcher, on a personal note, it's like, what are you doing? You messed up 2 years ago, and now you're trying to point the finger at a guy who has a substance, Cora said. Obviously, at one point, if we have to do it because it's just out of control and we see it, then we'll address it. But as of now, I don't see myself doing it. I don't see it. I actually take it as a bad thing. So, wait a minute. If there's a pitcher out there who's obviously loading the baseball and getting your players out, you won't call him out on it, Alex, because that would make you a hypocrite? So, you're going to put your team in a worse position so you can maintain some sort of code or whatever, you know, whatever that is.
Which is how we got into this mess in the first place.
That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. I want you doing what's best for the Red Sox to win a game.
Yeah, me too.
So you're afraid to call out other cheaters because you're afraid to look like a hypocrite. Well, that's, I mean, and Mastronato says that's a good thing. He says, Cora wants none of this. And who can blame him? Girardi looks bad. Manfred looks worse. But it's like, I don't care how it looks. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I want him to win the game.
Yeah. And again, really what it indicates is that, you know, his past or his reputation would get in the way of him doing his job where he might otherwise act differently. So if I were him, I don't know that I would have admitted that. And I made a mistake earlier. Last night, I thought the Red Sox were the ones with a reliever from Tampa Bay, Castillo, who pitched the last inning of the game. He had, you know, a smear on his hat when he came in. And the umpires apparently went to him and said, you got to take the hat off. You know, we're not going to let you go with the hat. Because typically with relievers, what they've been doing is inspecting these guys when they come off the mound. Well, if you're the closer and you're coming into the game or you're pitching the ninth inning, that doesn't do any good.
Great point.
So they have to, you know, they inspected his hat at the beginning and they made him put on a new hat. So Cora apparently at one point went out to say, what the hell's going on here? And there was some misinterpretation as to whether or not Cora had asked for it. Cora went out just to get an explanation, wanted to know sort of how's all this going to work, you know, going forward. So, you know, I would rather have Cora challenge it.
Of course.
I totally want Cora to do it.
And if you look like a hypocrite, you look like a hypocrite. You think Bill Belichick is going to, you know, hesitate to tell the league or a ref if he sees the other team cheating? Well, I mean, that is the pot calling the kettle black, but I mean, Bill's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. If he's a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite. Go F yourself.
Yeah, and when they ask you, buddy, you say, takes one to no one.
You say, well, you would have to ask Tom about how he likes the condition of his balls, whatever. But, you know, it's whatever it takes. So, again, Mastronato points that as a good thing for Cora. I think it's not a good thing for Cora. But either way, there's that point of view. And certainly, you know, he's taken the players, at least the pitchers, point of view. I think from a fan standpoint, the thing's been great. And it should, if they follow through with it, improve the quality of the game or how interesting the game is. It should reduce strikeouts and should increase balls in play, and the sport desperately needs it. So I hope they carry through with it. And I hope they continue to act like 2-year-old boys out there because that stuff's fun. And so there's that topic. I promise 2-year calls on that. The Jaylen Brown Celtics stuff, the Ime Udoka stuff on the table. Whatever you want, 2-year calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.